From Matthew 16, verses 13-20. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he ordered his disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah.
Well, bless you all. And I must say, Susan, you are looking good this morning.
Thank you, Dad.
Well, the truth will out. Bless you all. Well, I'm going to get on to talk about names in a moment. But first of all, I want to say something about prayer. Last Sunday, I was talking to Chi, and I could see that Ngozi wanted my attention. So I knelt down and looked her in the eyes, and she fixed me with her gaze and just started talking away to me. There was so much she wanted to say. She kept fixing me with her gaze and kept on talking. I didn't understand a word she said. But I'm sure that one day she'll be able to use words, and she'll be able to talk to her mum and dad and to others and express all that's inside her. She'll be able to communicate well with those that she loves. You know, sometimes, and I just felt God saying to me, sometimes, you know, you think you don't know how to talk to me, and so you don't bother. But I think he's saying to us, Lord, you might not be very good at praying yet, but I love to sit and listen to you praying. Your words might not be very good. You might not be able to express yourself very well, but give it some practice. I'm sure Ngozi's going to find some really great words going forward. And as we practice talking to God, we're going to get better at it. We'll be able to draw closer to him and love his presence in our lives. And you might think that's just a blessed thought from myself. Well, I've got a Baptist blessing from you, because I've got two quotes here from the great Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. He said, "Prayer itself is an art only the Holy Spirit can teach us. Pray for prayer. Pray until you can really pray." And he says this, "God thinks so much more of your desires than of the words in which they are expressed." It may be natural for a scholar to consider the accuracy of your terms, but God especially notes the sincerity of your soul. There is no other place where the heart should be so free as before the mercy seat of God. There you can talk out your very soul, for that is the best prayer that you can present. Do not ask for what some tell you that you should ask for, but for that which you feel the need of, that which the Holy Spirit has made you hunger and thirst for. You ask for that. Pray always. Pray. I'm convinced that God wants us to pray more and more, draw closer to his presence this year. My home group, meeting on Wednesday at 7:30, is working through the prayer course. There are two of us so far enrolled in that exciting time. If others of you are free on Wednesday evening at 7:30. Do join us and we'll start practicing and learning how to pray better. Okay, bless you. Well, you might be wondering what I'm going to say about that passage, and we'll be coming to that later. But the thing that we want to talk about today, if I can find my sermon, is overcoming the labels that bind you, the names that you've got. There was, I was going to kind of pick up on an example from Craig Groeschel at the beginning of his book, where he talks about how he was he was just so struck by the awfulness of his life. But I thought, hey, I can vaguely remember my teenage years as well. And, you know, I have an identical twin brother. And the thing is, people at school used to call Jeff the happy one and Keith the miserable one. You know, and that is a label that I had. And I used to think, no, that's just unfair. They just think that whenever they see one of the miserable ones, they can't tell us apart. They say, that's Keith. And when they see a happy one, they say, that's Jeff. But actually, inside, I wasn't happy. And I probably was showing being miserable. When I was at university, it happened that Jeff and I both went to the same university, studied on the same maths course, but lived in different parts of town. Jeff became a Christian in his first year, and there were just so many people who complained to him that he cut them dead in the street. He had loads of friends who came and saw me and were offended that I just ignored them. But I realised that I didn't have many friends because there weren't many people going to Jeff saying, you haven't been talking to me. And then I met God and he changed my life. Maybe I'm still not the most bubbly person around. And Susan, you can speak for that. But I'm not quite as miserable as I was when I was a teenager, because God has changed one of the labels in my life. Hopefully you don't go home and say, Susan spoke this, led the service, and then the miserable one came out to preach. If you do, please let me know, and actually please come and pray for me. But we all have labels that we carry with us, don't we? Last week Susan talked about shopping, and sometimes people want to go out shopping to put on some fine clothes so they can dress in a new label and think, yes, I'm a different person because I'm wearing these clothes. I've got this special makeup because I'm special. I'm worth it. You know, in the Bible, there are names that are important in the Bible. You know, there's Jacob the swindler, cheat, Gideon the feeble, fearful, Moses the runaway, the stutterer, Peter the impetuous, the thoughtless. What name do you have? I've come up with some silly ones. Bill the bully, Kevin the coward, Colin the cheat, me Mike. I don't know, I didn't think of any women's names, I dare. So what's your reputation? What's the name that you have? Can we get away from those names? I've used this illustration before, but I just love it. Have any of you used to watch Matthew Kelly, Stars in Their Eyes? Yeah, there are all these people, Joe Bloggs from whatever stream, and suddenly they wanted to be someone else. They wanted to be Elton John, Nat King Cole, Louis Armstrong, Patsy Cline, Diana Ross, Whitney Houston. All those people would come up, they'd have a little chat with Matthew, they'd go out the back, and then a wonderful bright light would shine behind them, and they'd come out in their glory and their majesty, and they'd be someone worth seeing. Someone completely different. And in a way, that's quite nice, isn't it? But I think God wants us to go to that place and come out through that door. Keith Saunders. Glorious and beautiful, made in the image of the loving God who takes care of him. It's sad that, it's great that people like to do imitation. It's a homage to others. But it's sad if that's the image you've got, pretending to be somebody else. And actually, quite often, we find ourselves pretending to be somebody else. Someone who's going to fit in a bit better at work. Get on better in the little group of friends that we've got. But you know, God has given us a name. And giving names is God's business. I mean, we've just had that reading, which we'll come back to in a moment, where Jesus calls Peter the rock. But let's get right back to basics. Now, in the Bible, names are important and they talk of something of the person of the people. But right at the beginning of the Bible, it says this in Genesis 1, verses 26 to 28. God said, "Let us make mankind in our image, in our likeness, so that they may rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, over the livestock and all the wild animals, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created mankind in his own image. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds in the sky and over every living creature that moves on the ground." The pinnacle of God's creation is man and woman together. Made in his image, his children, the ones he loved. And we see them in that early verses in Genesis, walking in the garden, talking with God. It's what we call prayer today. Going out and about and just sharing life with their loving Father who made them. The God who made them in his own image, male and female. But what about Jacob the deceiver, Peter the impetuous, Moses the stutterer? What about those people? What about Israel, that nation that ran away from God? You see, the beginning of Genesis started off very well, but soon man drifted away and we got in a bit of a mess. We began to break our relationship with God. But in Isaiah 43, God says this, "Now see, this is what the Lord says, he who created Jacob, he who formed you Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine." It's talking to the nation of Israel, but it's interesting that he says, "I created you Jacob." So he was born Jacob, but God gave him a new name, the name of the one who struggles with God. And he says, "Don't fear. I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name and you are mine. Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you not perceive it? I am making a way in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland. The wild animals honour me, the jackals and the owls, because I provide water in the wilderness and streams in the wasteland to give drink to my people, my chosen. The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise. Do not fear, I have redeemed you. See, I am doing new things." And we can go on and read in Isaiah 62. "For Zion's sake I will not keep silent, for Jerusalem's sake I will not remain quiet, till her vindication shines out like the dawn, her salvation like a blazing torch. The nations will see your vindication, and all the kings your glory. You will be called by a new name that the mouth of the Lord will bestow. You will be a crown of splendour in the Lord's hand, a royal diadem in the hand of your God. No longer will they call you deserted or name your land desolate, but you will be called Hephzibah and your land Beulah, for the Lord will take delight in you and your land will be married. See, your Saviour comes. See, his reward is with him and his recompense accompanies him. They will be called the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you will be called sought after, the city no longer deserted. I see it's been God's plan all along to restore that image that was damaged at the beginning of creation by our sin and failure. He wanted a nation that would love him, and when they failed, he still wanted to pull them back to himself. We often turn to Genesis chapter 12. And let's just remember some of the things about Abraham, Jacob, Moses and Gideon. I mean, Abraham's another interesting guy, isn't he? Because he was a bit of a coward and kept on passing off his wife as his sister and so on because he didn't want to be honest about things. But in Genesis 12, the Lord said to Abraham, go from your country, your people and your father's household and the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation and I will bless you. I will make your name great and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you and whoever curses you, I will curse. And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you. And Abraham's name was changed to Abram, was changed to Abraham, father of many nations. And Jacob, the cheat who swindled his brother out of his birthright, ran away and moved in with Laban, his uncle, who was also a swindler and a cheat. But as he was leaving Laban and moving back to meet up with his brother, on a night before he was about to face his brother who he'd swindled, Jacob got up and took his two wives, his two female servants and his 11 sons and crossed the ford of the Jabbok. After he'd sent them across the stream, he sent over all his possessions. So Jacob was left alone and a man wrestled with him till daybreak. When the man saw that he could not overpower him, he touched the socket of Jacob's hip so that his hip was wrenched as he wrestled with the man. The man said, let me go, for it is daybreak. But Jacob replied, I will not let you go unless you bless me. The man asked him, what is your name? And Jacob answered, Jacob, he answered. Then the man said, your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel, he who struggles with God, because you have struggled with God and with humans and have overcome. Jacob said, please tell me your name. But he replied, why do you ask my name? Then he blessed him there. So Jacob called the place Peniel, saying, it is because I saw God face to face, and yet my life was spared. Isn't that amazing? Jacob the swindler, the coward who'd been trying to send his flocks ahead of him to buy off the anger of his brother. But when he struggles with God, God gives him a new name. He who struggles with God. Your name will no longer be Jacob, but Israel. And it's because I saw God face to face, Jacob said. Or Gideon, the mighty warrior. The angel of the Lord came and sat under the oak tree in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abiezrite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. They were hiding in the hills away from their oppressors. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our ancestors told us about when they said, did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and given us into the hand of Midian. I think this is amazing. The Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? So God appeared to a guy, hey, perhaps like me, kind of hiding in the shadows, not wanting to be noticed too much, certainly not wanting to get into any trouble with the Midianites. He greets him as mighty warrior and says, I've given you the strength, get out and do it. Go and save your nation. I wonder if I'm ready to hear God say that to me this week. Go out, change your world. But that's the kind of thing God says to his people. Pardon me, my Lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I'm the least in all my family. The Lord answered, I will be with you, and you will strike down all the Midianites, leaving none alive. Now, we probably struggle with that last bit in our modern age, although the humans seem to be still pretty competent at killing each other. We're not really expecting God to invite us to do that. But he's changed Gideon's name. He's given him a new name, not the one, the fearful one that he had before. Who else was there? Moses. Well, we all know Moses was a stutterer who thought he couldn't speak for God. And God said, oh, yes, you can, and sent him to Pharaoh. my page size has gone wrong. So, let's come to Peter now then. So thank you, Susan, for reading that short passage from Matthew. And I have to say, when I read it, I thought, well, Susan's given me this title, Getting Away from the Labels That Bind Us, or whatever it is. And we've got this story. Well, there aren't a lot of hints and tips, are there, about the way we should change our lives here, right? Now let's just read it again. Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi. He asked his disciples, who do you say the Son of Man is? They replied, some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets. So it's interesting, Jesus was engaged in a conversation about names. Well, who do you think I am? What's my name? But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And Simon answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And so as soon as Peter recognized Jesus with a name, a title, the Messiah, Jesus replied, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter. And on this rock I will build my church. And Peter means rock. And incidentally, Jonah means dove. And my Hebrew teacher at Bible college said, actually, in Hebrew you could have called the book of Jonah the book of Mr. Silly, because doves were seen to be silly. And so it was an idea in the Bible that Jonah was silly. And so Peter, just have a name. Son of a silly one, and now he is the rock that Jesus will build his church on. Well, that's all well and good for Peter, isn't it? So how can we change our mindset? How can I change my mindset? Actually, I'm not going to give you a load of rules that you can follow, practices that you can observe to clean up your name. Because as we see here, how Peter got his name cleared up was simply by recognizing Jesus as the Christ. So in John 10 it says, the thief comes only to steal and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. We don't need to be constrained any longer by the labels that people have attached to us or that we've taken on for ourselves. Jesus has come to give us life to the full. And I think Romans 12 was our memory verse recently, wasn't it? Does anyone remember Romans 12, 1 and 2? Well, I've got it written down here, so I'm going to cheat. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in the view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world. Don't be conformed by the labours you've got, what the world wants you to be, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing and perfect will. And a favourite verse from 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians 5:14. Our firm decision is to work from this focus centre. I'm reading from the Message here. Casey with the NIV were kind of losing it, thinking, where's he got that from? Our firm decision is to work from this focus centre. One man died for everyone. That puts everyone in the same boat. He included everyone in his death so that everyone could also be included in his life. A resurrection life, a far better life than people ever lived on their own. Because of this decision, we don't evaluate people by what they have, or how they look, what name they've got. We looked at the Messiah that way once and got it all wrong, as you know. But we certainly don't look at him that way anymore. Now we look inside, and what we see is that anyone united with the Messiah gets a fresh start, is created new. The old life is gone. The new life burgeons. Look at it. All this comes from God, who settled the relationship between us and him, and then called us to settle our relationship with one another. And in Galatians 2 verse 19. For through the law I died to the law so that I might live for God. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Craig Groeschel, in the book I was reading, said, indeed, I have been crucified with Christ, and my ego is no longer central. It's no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I'm no longer driven to impress God. Christ lives in me. The life you see me living is not mine, but is lived by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to go back on that. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died unnecessarily. You're not your past. You're not what you did. You are who God says you are. If you're a follower of Christ, if you're a Christian, then my prayer is that God will help you to live with a new name. So what can we do? Well, we do need to acknowledge that our label is, acknowledge your label instead of pretending it doesn't exist. At some point I had to admit that I was miserable. Allow God to do an extreme makeover by uncovering your true self in his image, redeemed through Christ. Yeah. God wants to change us from the inside all the way through Christ. And I must admit, sometimes when I've listened to that, I've thought of the Stepford Wives. Do any of you know the story of the Stepford Wives? It's about how these men managed to somehow brainwash their women to behave in exactly the way they wanted them to do. The women had... Can you share that with us, Susan? Sorry.
We saw the film.
You saw the film. Excellent. Susan's seen the film, so you can correct me. But these women were actually looking like just the wives that their husbands wanted them to be, but actually they had no real free will. That's not what God is doing with us. He's not changing us into a bunch of clones, of automatons who look alike and behave the same. But he is wanting to take out something of the things that have contaminated our lives and restore to us that beautiful image that we made in, the image of God that he created in Adam and Eve. And he wants to make that part of our own identity. See, the most important part of our identity is right back to the beginning of Genesis, in the garden, in relationship with the Father, our Father in heaven, relationship with God. I'll just finish with a little story that is actually in the prayer course. As Peter's finished writing his book, he's finished writing a book, and he's got the manuscript ready. He's finally got some time to spend with his family, and he goes out for a family meal and says to the kids, "Yeah, you can go and play on the swings." And his two boys run to the door, and then one of them comes back and said, "Dad, I've missed you." And he just climbed into his father's lap and enjoyed presence with his father. I think that's what prayer is really all about, coming into the presence of a father and recognizing that we are his children, that he loves us, that he wants to restore his image in us and give us joy. We need to come to that place. Prayer is important this year. It's about our relationship with the Father who wants to transform us from the inside out. Right now, I don't want to give you a list to do, but I want to invite you to come to the Father. Yeah, I do. You know, I think I want to bless you to know that you're made in the image of God. So if you want to just have that restored blessing of knowing your image in the presence of God, and I need this too, as I've already said, certainly I got rid of one label, but I've probably got a few others. But I want to be the person that God wants me to be, with a name that is given to me by my Father. Blessed to be the person he desires me to be even more this year. If you want to do that as well, I just urge you to come forward, and I just want to pray for that. Certainly, if you want to just stand where you are, you can do that. But if you want to get that bit closer to God, you know, the amazing thing to me about Moses' encounter with God in the wilderness is he's walking along doing his daily stuff, and he saw this burning bush, and he turned, and as soon as God got his attention, he said to Moses, "You're in a holy place." That's where it is for us today. As soon as we turn our faces to him, we're in the holy place of his presence. I just urge you to come into that holy place, to show him you want to turn your face to him and know that he's given you a name of love. So, you've got about 30 seconds before it's 12 o'clock and we have to wind the service up. So if you want to pray with me, do come forward. Perhaps those of you who can could stand as well. I just want to pray this blessing. It's a simple little blessing. I bless you to know that you are made in the image of God. You are not what the world calls you. You are not what the deceiver calls you. You are who God says you are. I bless you to know the name that God has given you. I bless you to know that you are a beloved child of the passionate, gracious, loving Father. I bless you. Amen.
Amen. Amen.